And we're back with Jewish Community Radio, and that's a new one. I kind of like the CD. This is a little Jewish reggae. What do you guys think? How do you like Jewish reggae?
Thought it was very interesting.
Yeah, it's a little different. Kind of. And joining us in the studio today, we have a little trio here. We have the Scouting Council, the Jewish Scouting Council. The rabbi comes first. Rabbi Rogozin from Schechter, and we have Dan Bonder and his son Eric. And we're talking about the Jewish Boy Scouts. And Eric, you are an Eagle Scout.
Yes, sir.
What does that mean?
That means that you have to have at least, you can start Scouts at 11, but you have to have 21 merit badges, 11 of which are required, and 10 of which you can choose.
And how do you get these merit badges?
You get these merit badges by following particular requirements that are for that merit badge. Some merit badges may require you to do like an exercise routine for about 3 months. Or some may require you to put out a personal budget. But there's many variety of merit badges. There's over 100 of them. But the required, you have to have 11 of them in order to get to Eagle.
And each one is, I presume, very difficult because I know it's hard to become an Eagle Scout.
I think what it takes to become an Eagle Scout more than anything is commitment towards those merit badges and also towards the troop.
Are there any other requirements, Eric, beyond the merit badges?
Beyond the merit badges, you have to go on a certain number of campouts. There's also requirements in the scouting book, which you have to fulfill in order to advance ranks.
Well, tell us, how did you get into scouting?
I got into scouting. I've been in Cub Scouts before, and my older brother had joined Cub Scouting, and that was kind of what got me interested into Cub Scouting. And then from Cub Scouting, I just decided that I wanted to continue with it until I became an Eagle. And even when I became an Eagle, I ended up going a little bit past that.
How long did it take you from the time you joined Scouting to become an Eagle Scout?
From the time I joined Boy Scouting, I was about 11, and I became an Eagle Scout at 14. You can become an Eagle Scout earlier than that, but it just takes a lot of effort from when you join to that.
Now, Eric, are there other requirements for Eagle Scout beyond just the merit badges?
There's community service projects that you have to do for the community. One of which is for one rank, and another one is your Eagle Project, which you have to have 100 hours of community service. Now, that 100 hours can be made up of other people's service hours. So you, for your particular project, you yourself do not have to put in 100 hours. But together, the cumulative amount of service that everyone in your project is doing has to add up to 100 hours.
So tell me now, Rabbi Rogozin, and Dan, you are together working on making a Jewish scouting council.
Yes. As part of the Boy Scout Council, we are. I'm the chair of the Jewish Committee on Scouting. Rabbi Rogozin is a volunteer member of that committee as well. We're all volunteers. And one of the things that we recognize is the need for a relationship between the Jewish community, all the various organizations, whether they be temples or synagogues, schools, and so on, and what the Scouts can offer. As far as outdoor activities and leadership skills and all of those kinds of things that they can do. And so that's our involvement, is trying to develop and encourage that relationship in both the scouting community and the Jewish community.
The Boy Scouts as a national organization have very good relations with a lot of different religious groups. And they have at the national level and then at the local level these groups. There's Catholics, Protestants, Jews, etc. There are even training programs at the National Center in Philmont, New Mexico, Cimarron, New Mexico, that have a week of training for Jewish Boy Scout leaders or Catholic leaders. There are awards and badges you can get within your religious denomination. And they invite clergy to come to the summer camps. And they've always had this relationship with Scouts for many decades.
Now, there has been Jewish scouting groups in Cleveland in the past.
Right. On and off at some of the synagogues and the JCC. I think one of the challenges is always going to be finding adults. As Dan said, it's all volunteers. And people are busy. Kids are over-programmed, which means their parents are over-programmed more than ever before. I see it in the school business. But it's always tough to find parents who can make that commitment, who can go out on the trips, who can help with merit badges, who will go to organizational meetings. So that's really the ebb and flow of the success is really the availability of parents.
And so how much work is involved for somebody who wants to be involved and be a Scoutmaster? First of all, be a Scoutmaster. Do you have to have gone through the Boy Scouts to be a Scoutmaster?
Absolutely not. In fact, there was some discussion at the troop that I was working with, which was actually Christ Episcopal Church, and there were a number of Jews in the Scout troop, which was great. It was a nicely mixed group, but they had asked whether that was something I might want to do, and I felt that my training was not good enough. But there's no requirement that you actually have been in Scouts. A lot of that information is available to the parent volunteers to help them learn the skills that they need in order to do these jobs. The Boy Scouts are always willing to provide information. In fact, I've been asked to be head of what is called the Troop Committee Chair, which is the parent side of Boy Scouts. They support the Scouts in what their efforts are in the troop. I had no training in that, but there were manuals and people at the council level down in Cleveland who could provide that assistance. So really, it's just a matter of the desire, and as Rabbi Rogerson said, committing a little bit of time to it. And you can commit as little or as much time as you want to.
Okay, well, let's come back and talk about that in a minute here. Let's take a little music break here. And here's also from a newer CD we got in from Jewish Music Group, Rav Shmuel, The Protocols. This is an interesting song. This guy's actually making fun of anti-Semites. I thought this was kind of interesting, so I thought I'd play it here today. And it's Rav Shmuel with Protocols. And we'll be back here on Jewish Community Radio on WJCU University Heights in just a moment. Yep, making fun of anti-Semitism. It's kind of funny. Rav Shmuel. It's a new CD. I like it. And I got it in there from Jewish Music Group. Great people. In fact, they same people put together that CD from Brad Schachter I played, and we hope to have Brad on pretty soon on the show, maybe next week possibly, and we'll go from there. But that's a little fun. I kind of like that one. What'd you guys think of that? Kind of different, huh?
No, yeah.
It was. Very, very humorous.
Very humorous, yeah. So I can't go. I like the humorous. I know Friday. But nonetheless, let's get back to the scouting. This is Jewish Community Radio here on WJCU University Heights. And we are here with Rabbi Rogerson, Dan Bonder, and his son Eric talking about Jewish scouting. So let me ask you a question. You mentioned this is some scouting troops. They have some Jewish members in other places. Can somebody be in two troops at one time?
No, you cannot be in two troops at one time, but you can change troops from one troop to another.
And if somebody's scouting and they want to go out camping, let's say Camp Beaumont, aka Camp Swampy. if you haven't been out there, yes, it is always swampy. I've never been there when it hasn't rained. I think there's this cloud that's just like parked over that place. It's just incredible.
It's Northeast Ohio. What do you expect?
No, but even it could be sunny in Cleveland. It's going to snow in Camp Swampy in Ashtabula. It's just the way it is. I can't figure it out every time I go there. And nonetheless, if you want to be in scouting and you want kosher food, Rabbi, what do you do? I mean, I don't suppose the Boy Scouts generally have kosher food.
I can tell you, you know, been there, done that. I grew up in California where there weren't that many clouds, but we went camping in all kinds of environments. We went to Death Valley, you know, lowest point in America. We went camping near Mount Whitney, which is the highest point, all in the West. And the motto of the Boy Scouts is be prepared. So when you have issues of food, whether it's kosher, vegetarian, whatever, you have issues of the Sabbath, you know, someone is Shomer Shabbat, you make your plans. Either you schedule your events so that it doesn't conflict with holy days. You get the food that you need to do. I actually switched troops. You can't belong to more than one. I switched to a troop that was sponsored by the Mormon Temple in West Los Angeles because they were actually a lot more accommodating to my needs. in terms of food and days that we would go out. Actually, they had problems going out on Sundays. So we didn't do that much weekend camping because I couldn't do Saturdays, they couldn't do Sundays. But when we would go out, we'd go midweek, President's Weekend, whatever. We had a good time. And the shopping for all the food was really done by us. So I would be involved in doing the menus, and I'd make sure that there was food. And when we went to the National Boy Scout Jamboree, I remember my scoutmaster, who was a Mormon, got me up on Saturday morning and said, you know, you got to go to services. They had services all over the place, different days. So it can all be accomplished. You just have to plan ahead.
I wonder if the Seventh-day Adventists have a Boy Scout troop.
That would be pretty good.
No, I'm sure.
On days 1 through 6.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. So, you know, it might actually work out. But yeah, that's interesting. So now, what's involved? Okay, we talked before about getting the being involved as a scoutmaster. Now, what's involved in starting a whole new troop? There's paperwork involved. There's and how do people join your group?
Well, actually, Rabbi Rogerson is in the process of doing that right now. I'll talk about it in very general terms, but he can speak a little bit more to some of the specifics. But it's really not a very complex process. Again, the Scouts have been around for almost 100 years now, so they really have a lot of this laid out very carefully, and it's just a matter of somebody wants to do it. The local community scouting group down in Cleveland will help them do it. And it really just a matter of filling out some paperwork. There has to be a sponsoring organization that is willing to allow the troop to use their facilities for their regular meetings, and several parent volunteers who have committed some time to being involved. And that's pretty much it. Rabbi?
We started a Cub Scout pack at Gross Schechter Day School, and it really involved a few parents stepping up, and then the district, the scouting executives came forward, gave them all the stuff they needed to get going. I just had to give them a check, I think, for $20 and sign a piece of paper. I've done that for a Boy Scout troop as well, and we have one leader so far and a few kids who are interested, and we're working on that. It's really getting the people. The paperwork is not an issue. And as Dan said, the resources available for adults who want to get involved in scouting is so plentiful. It's really easy. It's just a matter of parents stepping up and doing it.
Interesting. And so how many people do you think you might have starting off the troop is there a certain number you have to have? Can you have a troop of one to start off with?
Actually, I suppose you could. It might not be all that much fun for that particular scout. But I think realistically, if you don't have at least half a dozen scouts involved to get the troop going, I think they're not going to. The scouts themselves won't get as much of an experience out of it.
Yeah, By the way, the Jewish troops are open to people who aren't Jewish, and they certainly don't have to be at my school. That's one of the great things about scouts is you get to meet kids from a lot of backgrounds, a lot of varieties, different schools, and you all have something in common. So, you know, we're open to any kinds of kids from the area.
And how do they get a hold of you?
Well, they could call the school.
There you go.
216-763-1400 and ask for me.
That's the Gross Schechter School,
right?
Which is a very good school. And by the way, I feel people don't know, this is the same school that has a great rib burn-off every year, which I admit I eat too many ribs every single year, and I generally just don't eat the next day. For the most part, it's just too full.
Well, I have to tell you, it's not so different. I mean, it's funny. I learned to cook in Scouts. And I cooked outdoors on open fire. So
is that the origin of the rib burn-off?
I didn't create it, but I can tell you, just smelling that smoke brings back memories from my scouting.
I think it's one of the biggest events in the Jewish calendar in Cleveland. And if you haven't been there, you have to go. It's just
right.
But I think one of the great
things of Scouts that I don't think Jewish youth groups really provide kids is the opportunity to be self-reliant, to self-sufficient, to go out somewhere, to plan a whole weekend, get the food, get the equipment, be out there, set up your camp, and do things, and really have the kids be fully in charge.
And I mentioned Camp Swampy here, a.k.a. Beaumont and Ashtabula. Do you go to other camps also, or just the Cleveland area camps?
Eric?
There are other campsites in other states as well. Some of which are popular campsites but aren't necessarily affiliated with scouting, or like Gettysburg and things like that. Anywhere that there's pretty much a national park, you could probably find some place to camp, provided that they will let you. Any like local area parks, like the metro parks or things like that. There's also campsites that are outside of the country, such as Tinnerman, which is in Canada, and places like that.
Okay, Rabbi, I want to give the phone number one more time for people who are interested in possibly joining or getting involved.
They can call me at the Gross Schechter Day School, 216-763-1400. We have one Eagle Scout in the community who said he'd like to volunteer. He doesn't have any connection to the school, but that's one of the great things about scouting. People are invested in this and want to help other kids have a great time. So I'm looking for that as well if anyone is interested.
And that's a very good point. You don't even have to live in that particular community to be a member of that scout troop. For example, we happen to live in one community, Orange, and we joined a troop that was situated in Shaker. So if there are people who are not necessarily particularly close physically to the Gross Schechter School, they can still be involved if they want to be with that troop, if they find that an interesting place to be.
Or they can go to a troop that's nearby. They're all very welcoming to people from all backgrounds. It's truly a great American institution, and I think sometimes as Jews we're always looking to just be in Jewish places, but I tell you, they've always been respectful to all groups, and that's one of the great institutions in America.
Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you for showing up and being part of the show this week. For those of you who are interested in the music we played, it is available through the website jewishcommunityradio.org. And we are going to finish up here in a second here by posting we have here on the jewishcommunityradio.org website the music we just played today. You can look at it anytime you want to from any show, current or past, the past few weeks. We'll start recording it now. And we hope that you will join us again every Friday from 12:30 to 1, as well as on Sundays from 7 to 8 a.m. for Jewish Community Radio. I'm your host, Fred, and this is, by the way, I didn't get a chance to give the news. We've had a really busy day today. But in brief, the news is, I'm just going to give the time of the Parsha. This is Erev Shabbat, Parsha Vayakal Pekudei. I guess that's the Twin Cities of lighting. Candle lighting is no later than 7:16 p.m. And I wish everybody Shabbat Shalom. And we're going to end here with a little bit more back to the reggae, which we start off with. This is Matisyahu with Jerusalem.